Back here on the game, hour two, John, Tyler, Mitch, all with you. We're going to get to that Twitter question in just a moment. What could K-State basketball do the rest of this season to get the majority of people excited about where the program is headed? And what would get you excited? That was actually really the better question there. 537-1350 or 866-776-1350. We go around college basketball at 525. Bad news for a former Cat today. And good news for the Royals. We have not had a chance to talk much Royals here lately. Get a little bit of that in at 540. And Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week at 550. So the question posed, let me just read it exactly as I stated it on Twitter earlier today. You can see it at the game KMAN right now. But what could K-State Hoops do the rest of the season that would make you confident slash excited about the future of the program? Is the NCAA tournament all that it takes? We've gotten upwards of 20 responses to this from people. And the main reason I ask it is because, to me, one of the biggest issues that you have with the program right now is just a very it's a weird kind of atmosphere just from the fan base and everything surrounding it. The Kansas game we knew was going to be rowdy and raucous because everybody for one day a year, pretty much no matter what's happening with K-State or Kansas basketball, they're going to get up for that game and be excited. That's a game that you sort of just remove from that discussion. But everything else, it seems like there was not near as much excitement surrounding a top five road win as there should have been after the Baylor game. People came down really hard after that TCU loss. And to me, one of the biggest issues that you have working here is that it seems like a majority of people don't feel good about where things are ultimately headed, and therefore that affects how you view what's actually happening on the floor with this 2016-17 team. So what does it take to get people on board next year to where most people are going to feel confident about it?
It depends where you're starting from, I think. I think that there are people out there, maybe ones that we do not hear from on the internet as much, that do not have as much of a level of dissatisfaction, and they feel reasonably well that as long as the program gets to the NCAA tournament this year, that they'll be excited going into next year. But in terms of the people that we hear back from a lot and talk to and interact with a lot more, it does seem like the minimum is probably going to be the Sweet 16, unless there were some weird situation where you finish the season really strong and you just happen to play potentially a number one seed in the second round of the tournament. But if you make the Sweet 16, I think you're looking at a situation where at least 75-80% of the fan base would be on board with seeing what this coaching staff can do over the course of the next offseason, because they will have a couple big holes to fill, but there will be a lot more faith that they could actually accomplish that.
I think one of the biggest reasons that is what it would take is because that's something that we haven't seen here. Bruce Weber hasn't won a tournament game in 5 years here at K-State. He's won one in the last decade. That came at Illinois. So that would be an accomplishment that we have not yet seen, and you could then draw upon that. And, I think that is the situation that's here at K-State right now is not unique just to K-State. It's not unique just to this one incident at K-State. I think in some regards, and others could tell me better about this because I was so young when this was happening, but my perception of the Dana Altman era end at K-State was always that, well, he wasn't Lon Kruger. He wasn't quite as good as what it was before. So then fans weren't happy. It led to a divorce there when perhaps it shouldn't have, and you went into, a dark age of K-State basketball there for a while. So it doesn't necessarily always mean that it's correct if that's the way that things are going. Jamie Dixon is another example of that. People were just fatigued of him at Pittsburgh, even though he got him to the NCAA tournament every year, but they only made one deep run, and it had been a long time since it happened, so fans get restless. He's out. Bob Stoops, it happens at Oklahoma all the time. There are examples of things like this happening, and I'm not saying that every single case is right, every single case is wrong. I think they're on a case-by-case basis. But this is the type of thing that can happen with fans, where it's just a weird dynamic between what's actually happening on the floor and how the fans feel about it and how they're viewing everything based on their perception of where this thing is ultimately headed, where the end goal is that you have in mind for things.
And it's a really tough position for Bruce Weber to be in, for the NCAA tournament performance to be that measuring stick, because we know about how much of a crapshoot the NCAA tournament can be, similar to the Major League postseason. But there have been so many good teams, and we've seen this a lot with Bill Self's teams at Kansas, so many good teams that do not perform in the NCAA tournament. And you can make the case, it's not fair to measure a coach based on that because of that that lack of, things working out the way they should, or the best team always winning. But Bruce Weber is in that position because of the fact that he's had plenty of chances now to make those runs in the NCAA tournament, and it's now been, you know, close to 15 years since he's actually been able to do that into the second weekend.
Yeah, the two responses I would have to that would be, one, you just go into it knowing that if you're going to be a high major Power 5 college basketball coach, that is the name of the game. You know, I mean, there are some scenarios where it's going to be a little bit different. If you're taking over a really downtrodden program, then maybe your ultimate measuring stick is not going to be how much you win in the NCAA tournament. But taking over a program like K-State's, you knew that was going to be a big part of the measuring stick how you did here. And then the other thing is, you buy yourself more time and more leeway with that type of thing if you are churning out consistently good regular seasons and getting to the tournament, you know, every single year, which hasn't happened the last 2 years, obviously, and only happened the first 2 years, you know, when he had a lot of inherited ammo, you know, to work with in the program. So, you know, that is how I would respond to that. Now, that's not to say that everything has been perfect for him, because, you know, I'm seeing, it's David who's really fighting the fight right now in the Twitter mentions here to this question about, let's see, he says, I hate how some fans hope we get beat so Weber will get fired. Pathetic. Bad fans only focusing on getting a coach fired instead of supporting the team. You know, I think really far on one end, you do have a faction of fans that have been like that for a while, and there have been probably a bigger faction of fans that just have been more dubious about the whole thing since day one and just have not been totally on board. That's a tough situation to walk into, and I think it's totally fair to say that that has made things a little bit more difficult on this whole coaching staff, you know, not just Bruce Weber, but the coaching staff and everybody, you know, that has been involved here at K-State, because you're never going to please everybody. And I think I made that point earlier. You know, you could ask 100 people what color the sky is. You're going to get someone that says black or something. I don't know, gray, not blue. So that's never going to be the case. But when you are working against some people there and they're just inherently upset, even with a Big 12 title in year one, you know, that's going to make life a little bit more difficult. But at the same time, I would say it is hard to ultimately argue with what the results have been, considering what was taken over and where things are at right now, too.
I mean, when you bring a new coach in, 90% of your fans are going to be impressionable to what that coach does, right? And they will not have their minds made up about what they feel about the coach and the direction of the program and everything like that. And what was hurting Bruce Weber from day one is that the other 10% were very vocal against him and already trying to change the minds of some of the fans before he even played a game here. And I think that put him in a really tough position. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, off the tee, his drive gets put behind a tree. He's not getting the same kind of shake as a lot of other coaches would because of how those fans felt about him from the beginning. And again, part of that is his own doing with how things ended at Illinois and the perception around him at the end of that regime there. But you have to deal with it at a certain point. And when you get 5 years into it, you've got to be producing the results to fight back against those fans that have been outspoken against you since day one.
Because the other thing that happens there is then you wind up with people really far on the other side that are going to let a lot more slide than they would with a normal coach because they're so upset with the people that from day one have been against this whole thing.
It's very political. It really is.
Pretty damn similar to a lot of what happens in the country right now with politics.
Yes.
You are absolutely correct about that. People being on their side of the aisle, phrasing some alternative facts to whichever side that they want to, you know, really make it fit to. You are totally spot on with that. As far as what people think would help unify for the most part and get people excited, the most common consensus answer here we've seen is basically what both of us said, and that is a Sweet 16 run, a run to the second weekend of the tournament. That's an undisputable thing that would be something that hasn't happened in a while. It's something that, you know, because the other thing that's hurt Bruce Weber, and I forgot to mention this first, is that he was coming in to a situation where fans were already upset about the previous coach leaving and the perception of why that happened and how it happened and the job that he went to and just the fact that he was a guy that won a bunch of games and had a lot of success. So being that next guy, it was going to be inherently difficult to match that anyway because people were just pissed that it wasn't Frank, you know, still the coach. So when you do come into that, I think that makes it more difficult too. Well, under Frank Martin, you made one Sweet 16. That was the Elite Eight team. You all of a sudden make it to the Sweet 16 this year. That's a pretty undisputable fact to say, like, look, the last guy in 5 years did that one time. Now here's your your one time here. That's a huge thing. Huge thing. And I think that's another part of why a lot of people are responding with that.
And doing it with a team that that I think would have more coming back than maybe you could say K-State going into the year after the Elite Eight. I mean, yes, they're losing their best individual piece in DJ Johnson, but again, having Dean Wade, Xavier Sneed, Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown all coming back.
You're saying they have more back this time around than K-State did going into 10-11?
Oh, I'm talking
about... You remember where K-State was ranked in the preseason
the next year? Yeah, I know where they were in the preseason.
They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Man. I know. I get that.
The all-time leading scorer was coming back.
Yes. Well, that's what I... Like, they had... I think that there it was inflated because they had the best overall player coming back, and then around him, maybe they didn't have as much talent as...
Curtis Kelly, Jamar Samuels. That was a good team still. They were five seed. Remember that team wound up being a five seed in the tournament? Like, that was a good team. Most people are saying Sweet 16. Let's see. Patrick says beating KU to make it to the Sweet 16. Well, that can't happen because you won't play a conference team until the second weekend, the way that they set up the bracket. But I understand the wishful thinking there as far as that goes. Drew says just a tourney win, but even that at this point isn't enough to get people to believe that Bruce is a good fit at K-State. So I don't. His answer was basically a tournament win, but that still won't do it, which I think is kind of our point. Like, it probably takes two and getting to that second weekend and really making, quote-unquote, a run. Mike says, I would be very excited if they won the next 16 games in a row. Yeah, you know, that'd be great. I'm assuming that the math on that would add up to winning the national championship. You got seven regular season, like three Big 12 tournament, then you're at 10, yep, then six. Yeah, that'd be the national championship. So well played there, Mike. I see what you're doing. In all seriousness, no, I thought Kellis' response when we posed this to him did make me think a little harder on my initial statement there that, hey, outside of West Virginia, there's just no exciting games left on the schedule, so what can you really gain, you know, if you're picking up wins there? If they did, they're what, 5-6 now? If they won out and were 12-6, all of a sudden finish third or fourth in the Big 12, yeah, that would probably carry some weight. Still don't think it would carry as much as if you just go what we expect, 9-9, 10-8, but make a Sweet 16 run. You'd still take that. But there would be something to be gained from winning out and going 12-6, because that's another thing that we just haven't seen, is just being consistent in Big 12 play. Outside of the Big 12 championship year, it's just been a lot of ups and downs. And so if they did go through a stretch of just consistent winning, even if it is teams that aren't all that exciting to beat, that's another thing that we really haven't seen and been able to hang your hat on.
When you mentioned Kellis, I thought you were going to talk about the DJ, because that would be a big factor.
Kellis did also tweet at us, yes, and say that bringing the DJ back would make him excited about the future of K-State basketball. But unfortunately, based on some inside info we have, it doesn't sound like that is going to happen, bringing the DJ back. So sorry, Kellis. Although I have offered to do it.
No one wants that.
I'll do it for free.
No one wants that.
You don't have to pay me a cent. I'm already at the games anyway. Like, there's no travel cost there. Just get me the turntables. Man, I would DJ the hell out of
you. You are not qualified for that position, my friend.
Not qualified?
Have you ever been a DJ for any of our five stations here or four music stations here?
I have co-hosted the morning show on B104.7 before. You've heard me do things on Z96.3.
I'm
obviously
just saying,
we're simulcast on K-Rock all the time.
I'm going to trust Mitch with this job more than you.
Oh, in terms of getting people hyped at a basketball game,
I have DJed at weddings.
You can't just play Lynyrd Skynyrd to get people excited at a basketball game. That's not going to do it. You know who the Migos are? Migos.
I'll play some Metallica.
Migos is like the most popular thing going
in the
country.
Metallica works. AC/DC might work.
Metallica. That was always me and my friends always had this inside joke. K-State did one of the pregame videos to the 2009-2010 season to a Nickelback song, and like they were all like hard rock. I think there was then an AC/DC one too, and it was like, yeah, because that's when you think basketball, you think AC/DC and Nickelback and hard rock. That's what you think. No, man. You think hip-hop. I know hip-hop.
Nickelback is nowhere close to AC/DC.
This just went off the rails. Things are going south for a former Wildcat. We'll cover that in Around College Basketball next.